May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you will know that before I started my ministry training, I was working as a psychotherapist, a counsellor. I can still remember that very first day I saw my very first client. I was working at a charity in Exmouth, and I sat there waiting for her in the empty room, when suddenly I had the absolute horrors. What am I doing here? Who do I think I am to put myself out there as someone who can counsel other people? I was terrified that my client would come in and immediately know that despite all my training and the fact I was sitting in the counsellor's chair, I was some sort of fraud. Then I realised that there was a name for what I was feeling, imposter syndrome. It's where we rightfully step into an identity, as I had that day, but feel unworthy of it despite evidence to the contrary. We believe other people can do it, but not us. We fear we're going to be unmasked and shamed. It's a surprisingly common human experience. As Christians, we can also experience imposter syndrome. Have you ever looked around church and thought, so-and-so over there is a much better Christian than me? Look at their prayer life. They're such a prayer warrior. I'm not like that. Or maybe they have such faith and I'm full of doubt. We compare and discount ourselves. Maybe on occasion you felt as if you didn't really belong. This story of the baptism of Jesus helps us to lean into the question of what does it mean to be a proper Christian, a proper follower of Jesus. John is baptizing at the Jordan River. Many, many people have come to him to hear his preaching and to be washed clean of their sins. He's comfortable with that. He's certain that his mission is from God. But he has his limits and is about to be pushed beyond his comfort zone. He sees Jesus approaching the river, and there's that moment when he realizes that Jesus has come to be baptized by him. And John is thrown into a complete spin. In fact, he tries to stop Jesus. The gospel says John would have prevented him. He objects. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? John, who has baptized hundreds, maybe thousands, a man who's felt worthy and called to preach repentance to the people, he's had no qualms about that. He suddenly has the most chronic attack of imposter syndrome unworthiness. He thinks he can't do it. He's not qualified for it. He's not holy enough for it. Perhaps he even worries he'll bring judgment on himself by the act. He doesn't really understand why Jesus has come to him, and he's afraid. Jesus' response goes straight to the heart of John's concerns. "Let it be so now," he says, "for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." This is God's will, and John is God's person in that time, at that place. The righteousness is God's. John wasn't a perfect person. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that he was perfect or sinless. He would have had human flaws. He might have sat round the campfire at night picking locusts out of his teeth. I imagine he may well have been a bit feisty on occasions, a bit hard to live with. And later on, when he's in prison, we learn that he developed doubts. So we're beginning to see that worthiness, or some sort of concept of perfection, isn't actually part of what being a proper Christian is all about. John's qualification for this extraordinary act of baptizing the sinless Lamb of God is not because of his own worthiness at all. It's because of his willingness to allow the grace of God to work through him. And that is what makes him the worthy choice to do it. So John listens to Jesus and consents. He baptizes him, and as Jesus comes up out of the water, heaven opens. The Spirit of God descends like a dove and alights on Jesus. Then God himself speaks. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. God has affirmed Jesus in his mission and his identity. His baptism forms the launch pad and the authority for those 3 extraordinary years of ministry, leading to the cross and the resurrection. It's a pivotal event, and it was able to happen because John took a risk on himself, on who God said he was. We are all proper Christians. We're proper Christians when we doubt, when we fail. We're proper Christians when we totally mess up or let God down, or otherwise display all the many, many human flaws Christ came to save us from. None of that stops us from belonging to God's family or from being loved by him as his child. You belong here. When Jesus walked up to the Jordan, John felt like an unworthy imposter. He was afraid. How could he possibly step into that role, that identity, as the person who would proclaim forgiveness of sins over God himself, the sinless one? But his worthiness for the task, like our worthiness, was never his own. It came from who God said he was. So he took the risk and stepped into his identity. And God used him to affirm the identity and mission of Christ himself. My client never did call me out as a fraud. Neither did any of the several hundred others I worked with over the years. But it required my taking that first step of choosing to believe that it was right for me to sit in that chair. What would it be like if we all took the risk today of choosing to embrace our identities as loved children of God who belong in his family just as we are, warts and all? Jesus came to lift our heads, and when he looks at you, he doesn't see your rubbish bits. He sees someone he loves enough to die for. You are his child, his beloved, with whom he is well pleased. Amen.